Ja. Getroud met rugby. En daai lekker goeie. Ja, when I was younger, and not married yet. Even when I was got married, I liked watching my favorite was Friends. Yeah. I'll be there for you. Awesome story. Three guys, three girls living together, and they did what they want, how they wanted. But what was lucky about it is, in the beginning, there's a plot. And then, after a while, there's either a bit of a fight, and then there's some comedy, and then all the problems that arose is resolved within 22 minutes. And that's impressive, guys. Sorry, I mean, never in our country have I ever got anything resolved within 22 minutes. Not even if I go to the traffic department, it doesn't get resolved in 22 minutes. And I think the reason why we like sitcoms and why we like watching sitcoms is because we cannot really relate to them, because it's not part of our lives. You know, when we face any problem, or when we face any anxiety that comes in our way, you know, it takes a while to get resolved. There's no humor coming in quickly to fix it. And if you're like me, I like to pull out and go sit somewhere and just play with this whole thing in my mind. I think what I must do, I wrote a lot, people. As you can see, I wrote a whole booklet, and I think if I'm gonna start now, we're gonna end tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. So let me just go through this for you. I want to read something for you from John 16, verse 33. Now, near Jesus, I like it when Jesus talks, but then sometimes I don't like it when he talks, because he can tell you how great you are, but then he can also tell you, if you don't do what I say, it will not be as great as I told you. Because if you look at that scripture, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Now that's good news. I agree. In the world, you will have tribulation or trouble. Now the best part here is Jesus is not talking about or talking to the pagans or the non-Christians. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the peoples that he is busy discipling. And he's telling them, guys, you want to follow me? Good. But you will face trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Louis Giglio says that Christianity cannot always be reduced to simple answers. In other words, we cannot say we know all the answers. When we get saved and we put our trust in God, we don't get a key to all the answers in life. When I found God and I started reading my Bible the first time, give you a bit of background. I knew God. You know, I went to the Inkiakak. We were introduced to God in the Inkiakak way. But then, after church, hey, life starts. I'm young. I'm free. I got a job. I'm earning big bucks. Money. And life starts, and you start joining, and you start playing. And then maybe on a Sunday, hey, we'll go to church. Oh, no. I think tonight I'm going out. I don't think I'm going to make tomorrow morning. You know? That's what my life was like. And reading the Bible eventually, let me fast forward a bit in my life. Because if I tell you my whole life, we are going to sit here for a long time. 3 years ago, I was at a mana camp, the first mana camp of Shofar swak op mond en in my weer. I never knew it was the first one. And on that Saturday, C.S. Leroux, the great man that he is, and the way he speaks, brought me back to God. But in such a way that my whole life changed. From this smoking, drinking, partying, whatever person I was, to within 2 weeks after that men's camp, I put the cigarettes down. I haven't touched a cigarette since. About a year and a half ago, I stopped drinking all spirits, brandy, whiskey, whatever. I enjoy a glass of good red wine with pasta and a good glass of white wine with fish. That I do. But you have to, because that's what the Italians say, what the French say. And all the good chefs as well. So, when I meet God now, again, or I don't meet God, I mean, God was here, he's here always, and he's the same always. It was me who left. And when I came back, and I found him again, things didn't change to, yes, see, prachtigeroosies and blommikies and all of that, no. I thought my life was going to be one, oh, everything is resolved. I'm going to have a bank account full of money here. The car's going to pull into the garage now. The house is going to be standing there now. I'm getting the keys. I'm going to walk in. Everything is going to be bliss. I'm going to have a job. Lekker. Some things did fall into place, yes. But a lot of things fell out of place. But it needs to fall out of place. You see, to read your Bible is easy. It's not difficult. Praying is also not difficult. It's easy to pray when you're going through trials and tribulations. Then prayer comes like this. When it's prosperity at your front door, God, thank you. I've got the money now, but I will see you in about a couple of days again. I need to go spend this first. That is a typical way that I was like that. I was. Now some days when I read through the Bible, I think to myself, I wonder, I wish I was like David. I mean, David was, he was a man after God's own heart. He became a king. I think he had a life. He had a good life. But he knew how to repent. I think that was what saved him. Or maybe become like Peter. Maybe if I could have been Peter. I mean, Peter was cool as well. Peter took a sword and cut off an oak's ear. He walked on water. And then if I may tell you a pastor's joke. No, I'm not a pastor yet, but I heard this from a pastor. He says that he reckons the reason why Peter denied him Jesus 3 times was because Jesus healed his mother-in-law earlier in life. So I don't know. That's a pastor's joke, guys. Sorry. Anyways. You know, but we can't look at heroes. Biblical heroes are nice. I mean, there's Paul. Paul was an awesome oak. I love reading about Paul. James. When James talk, I mean, you have to listen. They talk from such an authority that if you don't listen, you either, okay, no. But you have to listen. They were good men. They were men that had the privilege to meet Jesus, to walk with Jesus. I mean, think about it, guys. Think about how awesome it would have been to be a disciple. Just standing, catching fish. I can't catch fish. I live in Swakopmund, but I still can't catch fish. I can hang all day. Yeah. I can do well. But imagine you're standing there and Jesus comes and says, sit near your first rock and follow me. And I put it down and I, okay, and I walk. And this man starts teaching you about life. He starts teaching you on how easy it actually is to be a Christian. And how easy it is to follow him. We like to make everything so difficult. Because as soon as something happens, I'm in my little boxy and my glass, cussy and whatever, and God is missing. Until it goes so badly, then, Here, asseblief, toch help me. It doesn't have to be that way. Because if you walk, if you say that you follow Jesus, then you can stand with authority knowing that if you have a problem, you say, God, here's my problem. Take it, please. And it's something that I feel that we have to fathom. I actually had a complete other lesson for tonight, I wanted to talk about faith, because I love faith. And I think we lack faith. And yesterday, after we went up the mountain, I came down, and everything we prayed just changed my mind. I thought, God, but you see, I had such a good sermon prepared. And he said, no, but you're not that good. Talk about this. And that's why I'm talking about this tonight. Because this is also something that's near to my heart. It's where my life is now. And I'm talking to myself, people. I'm not talking to any of you. I'm talking to myself. I'm going to read to you now from a miracle that happened. This miracle was so big that all four Gospels recorded it. Mark, Matthew, Mark, John, and Luke. Now, Matthew 14, and then Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. All four talk about the two fishes and the five loaves of bread. I'm going to go through it. And then there's four concepts, I think, that help me, which I hope will help someone here as well. And if it doesn't help you, then maybe you can convey to someone else and it might help them. But it really helped me in my life. So, Matthew 14, from verse 13 to 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. I'm going to stop there first. I think the reason why Jesus went to a solitary place is because he just heard that John was beheaded. And what I like about this is, or the way I see it is, Jesus shows us he's man, but he's also God, but he's also man. So he doesn't have to go to a solitary place. He could have done something else. I mean, God can do anything. But he chose to go to a solitary place, the same thing that I would have done. If my cousin was killed now or beheaded, I mean, I would not have been, I would have been probably at a solitary place as well. Yeah. Hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Now, if I heard that my cousin was beheaded, I don't think there would have been compassion in that sentence if the book was written about me. Jesus it shows you his humanity. It shows you his heart he has for the people. It shows you how much he loves the people. He doesn't stop and say, "Guys, what are you doing here? I'm in solitary now. I want to be alone." No, he stops and he looks at the people. He feels sorry for them, and he starts teaching them, and he starts healing their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves and bread and 2 fish, they answered. And later in John 6, we learn that the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes belong to a small boy. The disciples had nothing with them because prior to this happening, they were also sent away where they were not allowed to take any food or clothes or packs or anything with them. So all they had was this 2 fishes and the 5 loaves of bread. And the next sentence, and I like that, Jesus says, "Bring them to me. Bring me those 2 fishes and those 5 loaves. Now, imagine you are sitting at, it's time, and there's no food. And Jesus is there. And we say, "Listen, we need to send them to Kentucky and Wimpy. There's nothing here." And Jesus says, "No, they don't have to go. You give them food." And we look around, and all we can find is a happy meal. And we say, "Right, here's the happy meal. What now?" And Jesus takes a happy meal and makes it in a feast. You with me? Can you contemplate that? Can you? I mean, that to me is really it's a miracle. And that same invitation actually comes to us in a similar fashion. You know, when we came back from Namibia, we had to leave overnight. And the reason why we had to leave overnight was because my previous employer felt that she didn't need my duties anymore. But instead of asking me nicely to leave, she came with a story, which I thought, okay, it's a good story. We got in the car, came across the border, and as we came across the border, she canceled my work permit. No salary, no bonus, no 10% profit sharing for the past 5 years, nada, zilts. All my furniture is still up there, all my cutlery, all my computers, all the TVs and whatever is still up there. Luckily, we could store it in a place. Now, I couldn't have gone and said, yes, you live here and know who, know what now. But that tells me, whatever you have in your hand, bring it to me. And you will see what I will do with what you give me. If you have no money, if you are battling to get work, take whatever you have and take it to Jesus and say, "Here, Jesus. This is all I have," because he invites you to bring what you have. If you're I don't know whether there's, you know, we're all happily married here, as far as I know, because so far it's quite, yeah. But, you know, guys, it's I talk from my own experiences. And I talk from listening to people talk, and I talk from listening to experiences that people go through. Why do we tend to retract when something happens? Why do we climb into our own little boxes? We are Christians. Well, I am. You all are. We are living by the Word of God. Why do we retract? If God says, they bring it to me, why do we not take it to Him? It's an invitation. It's all He's asking. And then He directed the people to sit down on the grass. Now, that alone, I think, is a miracle as well. Because to get 5,000 men to sit down is not easy. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves and then gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. So you probably can say that's like a biblical buffet. Because nowadays you can't go to a restaurant and pay money and get a full plate of food. And the disciples picked up the 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. So imagine this now. You have 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, pray, break it, and then 12 baskets of food is picked up afterwards. The number of those who ate was 5,000 men, besides women and children. What I find quite interesting here as well is Matthew was a tax collector. I find it quite funny why he counted people. Because a tax collector will never count people unless you owe him money. So, I don't know, maybe Matthew was standing there and said, yeah, that was Chariki, he owes me 100 rand, and there's Fricky, he owes me 500 rand. I don't know, maybe he counted like that. But why he counted, I don't know. But obviously, the reason why he said there were 5,000 had to mean something. So I'm going to go through 4 concepts now, which I hope will help you as much as it helped me. The first concept where I had to change in my life was with compassion. I will ask you a question again. Who in your life do you not love? The Blue Bulls. Do you love the Blue Bulls? Can you love them? No. Okay. That's quite easy. The taxi driving in front of you. Do you love him at that time? No. So, okay. We're getting there, right? Let's get a bit more real. Political parties that make a shamble out of the parliament. Can we love them? Or do we love them? No, we don't love them. Because we talk about them and we say, this is wrong, and that they're doing wrong. So obviously, we don't love them. What if we start looking at that people through the eyes of Jesus? What if we start looking with the eyes of compassion instead of eyes of criticism? If I take my wife for argument's sake, I'm married to that beautiful woman sitting in the back there. We had a spell in our married at some stage. I mean, we almost married now for 19, 20 years, yeah. And we went through some hiccups. But I had to look at her eventually, especially now. People, and if I start crying at some stage, forgive me. But after men's camp, 2014, when God changed my life, I saw my wife for the first time. For the first time in my life, I realized whom I married. I had to start looking at her through eyes of compassion so that we don't fight about nonsense. And I call it nonsense because we tend to fight. Harkie, kan jy nie asseblief die skoolhof was nie? Maar ek is moe. Maar ek is ook moe. Ek werk die hele dag. Ek werk ook die hele dag. En dan vaar staat aan. Mokkie, hoe lyk die jean? You know, a fight can have a little rock. You can really fight. Anyways, eventually I had to start looking at her through eyes of compassion. I had to look at her and see what does God see in her. And what God sees in her is far better than what I see. And that I made a motto in my life. Whenever I meet people, I love people. Guys, now I used to work in the office, now I rip. I love people, and I love talking nonsense as well. So I go out, go onto the site, and I just start talking to the guy. And then we cover anything from rugby to politics to Christianity, other night to married life, and then back again. And then I've got the sales deal, and then I walk out. He's happy, I'm chuffed, and we're out. But walking in there, I can't look at him and say, oh, nee, yes, he's the overwork. Office stinks. Oh, yeah. And, half Jackie Brandenburg. Yeah. You can't do that. Well, I can't do that. Maybe it's not even his half Jackie. Maybe it's not even he who is smoking, for argument's sake. Yeah. It's a question of walking in, looking at that person, praying while you're walking to him and asking God, what do you know about this guy? What must I see that you are seeing? And then connecting to that guy or woman. And then just go for it. I've got plenty of time left. If you look at the scripture, compassion was the foundation of the miracle that happened there. Because if Jesus didn't have compassion for those people when he stepped out of the boat, that miracle of the 5,000 of the loaves of bread and the fishes would not have happened. Because if he had to criticize them, he would chase them away, and no miracle would have taken place. So compassion there was the foundation of that miracle. The second point I want to talk about is concern. I want to tell you a joke first. There was this guy who was worrying tremendously. And he got fed up of worrying. So he put an ad in the paper. And he said, listen here, I will pay 20,000 rand for any person who will worry on my behalf. And 2 days later, his friend brought up there and said, this guy is happy, chappy, no more worries, no more stress. He said, what happened? He said, no, I put an ad in the paper. And I said there that someone will come and worry for me, I'll pay him 20,000 rand. And his friend said, but you don't have 20,000 rand. He said, well, it's not my worry, he must worry about that. Now, all of us are concerned. We all get concerned. The problem is that as Christians, we are concerned about people, but we don't really have the compassion for them. But because we are concerned about them, we want to step into their lives and tell them what to do and tell them how to do it. What we should do, actually, when we have compassion, we should be concerned about where they are going to spend their life in eternity. When you meet people with compassion, your compassion, your first concern must be, is he going to heaven or hell? Is she going to heaven or hell? And that should be your concern. You can look at Paul, for argument's sake. How many people here do we think has got a good relationship with God? I stay in the main road, and if I hear the amount of cars coming from EJs at the speed of white lightning, they must either be very, very, very close to God or very, very far from God. Our motivational drive becomes in such a way where we look compassionately at people and we start being concerned about not what they do, but how they do it. Not what they think, but how to help them think. How to. If it wasn't for a friend of mine who invited me to that Mannekamp, I wanted to pray that weekend because that was our ritual. I spoke about it this morning, Dolph and Nita, when we met. Every Friday or Saturday, we had to pray. That was the rule. And then every Friday and Saturday, we would have whatever we drink. He drank whiskey. I drank brandy, and then we both drank ponchos. And I tell you what, guys, he invited me, and I thought to myself, yeah, I'm not less for a Mannekamp now. I mean, seriously, what, you can't bribe, you can probably bribe, but how do you bribe the cook? Yeah. Sorry, guys, it was a challenge for me. I don't know when you guys were saved. I'm 45 now. I was saved properly at the age of 42. I had a life where my previous job in Cape Town was to take clients out. I had a nice diner's club card. And my boss told me, that card is not to stay in your wallet. It's for spending. And I obliged. I really obliged. Every day, every week, if my clients wanted to go out, hey, you got almost gone. Easy. And that card swiped easily. Never needed Q20, nothing. Nevertheless, if Dolph wasn't concerned about me from a compassionate side, I would not have been standing here tonight. I can guarantee that. I would have been either in a bar somewhere, wherever, either in Paul or still in Swakop, I don't know. Probably in Swakop. But that's another story. But luckily, a good friend of mine looked at me and he said, you need to go to a Mannekamp. Sorry for the unconsciously servitors. And I thanked him one day for saving my life, because he really turned my life around. I love God, people. I know it doesn't look like it. This is my first time preaching, so forgive me. I'm not the best of first-timers. The more I get relaxed, the better I get. Okay, so if you give me another 2 hours, then I'll talk like that. Anyways. In John 6:35, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus says he is the bread of life. He's saying, I want to fill you. I want to satisfy you. If we start looking at people through eyes of compassion, concerned about their well-being, we will take them to Jesus for them to get filled by holy bread and by holy water. Point number three is compelled to be generous. Now, generosity often blows someone's mind. If you come to someone and you give them money, they are normally ecstatic. I remember in my life, there was a couple of times. In 2007, I made the stupid mistake of entrusting a friend of mine. And eventually, I lost everything. I had to sequestrate myself. And I had friends just popped in out of nowhere. And there was money in my account. Even now, when we came back from Swakopmund, there was not one month, where I didn't have money for either food or clothes or electricity or rent or whatever. Every time when I see my bank account, I say, yes, God, what am I going to do? 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, there's money in my account. People love generosity. We as Christians, and you know what? In 2007, I thought about this a lot today and yesterday when I try to prepare. Back then, people who never knew God was far more generous than people who know God. I've eaten with people who doesn't know God a lot, and I've eaten with people who knows God quite well, who claim they are Christians. When we go to a restaurant and there's a tip to be paid, these guys who gets drunk with beers and whatever at the spur, the tips are flowing. I mean, 50 rand, 100 rand, 200 rand, yeah, man, Axel Patel. You guys know the story. Christians, I find it weird. I'm not condemning people. Please listen to my heart. We like to count. Okay, now, how much? No, I only ate that and that. So that's 150. Okay, that's 10 rand. Okay, I ate that and that. Okay, I'll pay for that. Yeah. I don't know why it is like that. We are the Christians. Everything we own comes from God. Alles. Al waar jy hoor van jou geldjies, it comes from God. Your job comes from God. The money you earn comes from God. The house you stay in comes from God. Everything. So why are we so reluctant to pay? I'm sorry, and I know I'm treading on toes now. You know what? If Christians start getting a concept in their heads of being generous. Government doesn't have to imply more taxes or bring in more laws to make more money, because the churches will have more than enough money to look after the poor. Far more than enough. Churches will have enough money to go to West Coast. And walking there and say, what do you need? Sarah, check, a hake. Bachike, check, a hake. Because we'll have the money. But oh no, 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 no. When it comes to a tithing, my car is 3,000, my house is 8,000, I must find groceries, oh my makeup, and oh that, and oh, and a present for that. Shoo. God, there's 50 rand here. Let me tell you a story about me. The first weekend, or the first end of the month after men's camp in Swakop, when I got home, the first thing I did in that month, I paid my a tenth of my salary. Here's my wife, you can ask her. I don't know how we were going to make it. I had no clue. And if you don't believe me, I'll go draw all my bank statements and I'll show you. Easy, because Swakopmund is not the cheapest of places to live in. Before the end of that month, after I paid my tithing and all my other loans, before my next payday, I still had $3,000 left in my account. And I looked at this and I said, man, where did I make this calculation area? I must have skipped a payment somewhere. And I went back and I looked at that, and now I paid everyone. Okay, cool. Next month came and I paid my 10% again. Because that's what the Bible tells me to do. Jacob did it. Everyone did it in the Bible. You pay your 10% first. Your first harvest goes to the Lord. And I paid my 10%. And what happens next month? It's more money in my account. How it works, people, I don't know. One thing I did, I trusted God. And He cleared up everything. I don't know what calculator you use. I use a Sharp. My Sharp and his calculator doesn't work the same. But I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. I'm grateful that I have more money when I pay my tithe, but less money when I don't pay my tithe. So we must start becoming more generous. Now maybe you'll ask me in the scripture, you know, where do you get up with, it doesn't stand there, about tithing, about anything. Just as I said earlier, you know, those two fishes that the boy had and the five loaves of bread that the boy had, he knew came from God. Well, he had to know it. And he gave it to Jesus, and Jesus took what he gave him, and he gave him back more. And that to me is the same with tithing, it's the same with, and people, I don't want your money, Chara didn't ask me to campaign for shofar, for money or whatever, I'm not doing that. I'm telling you what happened in my life. I'm telling you because if God can bless me the way He blessed me, if anyone is here that needs a blessing, of some sorts. Trust me, it works. Or try me, come and talk to me, I will tell you what I did, what I didn't do. But my trust is in God at all times. The last point is church. And many of us will say we have compassion and that we are concerned and that we are generous, but I don't like going to church. Because in church, people get hurt, apparently, and offended, apparently. It's a good thing Jesus is not walking with us now. Because I think a lot of us would have taken offense on earth. Michael Jordan, we all know Michael Jordan. Okay, he's a good basketball player, isn't he? Okay. Now what will happen if we separate the basketball from Michael Jordan? Do you think he will be a good actor? Or maybe a good... Well, I saw Space Jam, he wasn't a good actor. He can't be a good cricketer. So, I don't think... So, can we agree he'll be like a mediocre guy? is not going to be something wow. And when you separate a Christian follower from the church, you're going to get exactly the same problem or a similar problem. Because, you see, I believe in a small group. I believe in intercession. And I believe in accountability partners. You don't have an accountability partner, you are in trouble. I am in trouble, I know, because I don't have one. Because I don't know anyone yet. But I'm busy finding someone. And I will find someone. But you need someone that you can go to and say, I have a problem with this, or I have a problem with that. And that man, or that woman, will stand by your side 24/7, pray for you, uplift you, help you wherever they can, and vice versa. And there will be a trust between the two of you that surpasses all understanding. And the same will then overflow through to your small group. Because your small group is your safe haven. That is where you are supposed to trust one another with everything in your life. You cannot go to a small group and sit there and say, I can't do this story for telling me, I don't want Skinner. You can't have that. You can't Skinner either. You must find, if you don't like the people that you are in with now currently, then rather go and find people that you can trust. Find people with whom you can sit down and say, I have a problem. I've got a half jackie in the boot of my car, which I drink now and then when the stress overflows. Please help me. And that person will come and pray for you and help you. That's what we need. If we have that and we start building and uplifting each other, everything will change. This world can become a better place. If we take compassion, I know I'm hammering on the same thing, but if you take compassion and you look at someone through the eyes of compassion and you start getting concerned about the problems they have in their life and concerned about where they are going to end up in life, and you become generous towards everyone you see, you know, because you're a Christian. Wayne, what's okay? A car. Is there any geld nie, maar ek en hy en hy gaan jou kar koop. Okay, hou vas. That's generosity. Okay, you guys, you must please help me now, okay. But in the same with the church. When you're in a church, that's also the place where we must have trust. Because from the small groups, that will overflow again into the church. And the church will become a haven for the brokenhearted. There's brokenness outside their people, brokenness like you will not believe. You see it every day as well. There's people with financial stresses. There are people with, I don't know, man, we know what's going on outside there. But it's our duty. We are supposed to go out there and become the light bearers. We are supposed to go out there and do the job that God told us to do. What do you think will happen if a group of people begin to meet together and they see people like Jesus does and they are concerned about the people as Jesus is concerned about them, but primarily about the eternal destination, and they are compelled to be generous to those people as much as possible, and they are connected to the church, and they finally become Christ-like? Do you think they will change the world? I'm going to end off How many of you guys has heard or read The Gospel by Eric Liddy? I'm not going to read the whole thing. I don't want to take up all your time. But there's a couple of extracts. When you have the time, go onto YouTube and then download Eric Liddy, The Gospel, or The Gospel, Eric Liddy, and just listen to it. But close your eyes and put on earphones as loud as possible, and then you get yourself a box of tissues as well. Now, Eric Liddy introduces the living God, basically. And he carries on throughout the whole thing. And then he comes to a point, and this is what changed my life, and this is what I pray for everyone, and I'm probably going to try now again, so forgive me for that. But this is something that I want to pray tonight on each and every one of you. It is something that touches my heart in such a way. You see, I got to love God. If I say I love God, I really, really love God. I've never been, I'm 45, people, I've never been blessed as much as I've been blessed this last 3 years. Even with everything that happened in my life, this past 4 months, I am more blessed now than when I had my own business and when I had that lovely dinosaur club card that I can just swipe and all that. Yeah, it's lucky to spend someone else's money. That's awesome. Seriously. But I had no life, guys. I really had no, I had a wife that prayed for me 24/7. There were nights that today still I cannot remember how I got home. I got home, but I don't know how. And then you wake up and you, oh, yes, you must make car, you must make phone. Okay, my wife is obviously angry at me. Okay, where's my car? I need to find my car. And you've got this throbbing headache here, and you need water, and you take water and 2 bananas, and you walk to your car. All right, your car's still safe. All right, no, it was a good night. All right, no, okay, cool. All right. When's the next night starting? But now, I love going home to that lady there. She cooks. She bakes. Menza, if you want cake, ha, ha, ha. Phone her. She cooks divinely. I'm going to make money out of her still. Master Chef has not met her yet. But I must first speak to Master Chef because, yeah. Anyways, I love going home to my wife. I love waking up next to her and kissing her on the neck. I love my child. He's almost 7 years old. The biggest blessing in my life, that boy. We waited 12 years for him. 12 years. The biggest blessing I ever had in my life. But I love going home now. I love taking my son to Chum and just go practice cricket and run. And I got fat. But now I run so much, but I can't run so far anymore. So now I started kickboxing again, just so I can get fit. So I can play rugby with my child. It's a vicious circle, people. Yeah. And every Tuesday and Wednesday, I walk like this because I'm aches. And then Wednesday, I'm all right. And Thursday, I'm all right. And Thursday evening and Friday, I'm walking like this. And hopefully, it ends in about 3 weeks' time. And we'll see. But I love that. I don't miss my old life. Not at all. I can see where God worked in my life. Today. Now. Every time where God was in my life, where he protected me, where he saved me, where he got me home safely, even though I was not a Christian. I claimed I was one, but I drank more brandy than, I don't know, a ship full of, I don't know. And I don't miss it anymore. I wish I met God earlier in my life so I could have done more for him. But then I wouldn't have stood here tonight to tell you what he has done in my life. I'm not telling you to make you say, wow. I'm telling you to say, amen, because we serve a living, mighty God. And if there's anyone in this world who wants to battle me or fight me with that, he's more than welcome. I don't have a sword like Peter did, but I've got a Bible. I believe in every single word in that Bible. Everyone. Anyways, coming back to Michael Duty. If I cry, sorry. He says two things before the prayer that I want to pray over you, over each and every one of you. He says the commission. Not just the penalty, not just the problem, not just the invitation to his very near presence, not just the adoption as a son or daughter or the King of Kings, but we are commissioned to represent him. He says to us, before you go, what I am sending you out to do is impossible. And if you do it on your own strength, you will fail. I am sending you out to be a victor. My children will not lose. And then the prayer. Would you give me your body? And I will come and make it my home. And I will take those hands of yours and make them my hands. And I will take those feet of yours and make them my feet. I will take that mouth of yours and I will speak my words. I will take your eyes and they can now see what I need you to see in this world. I will take that heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh so that it will beat with my burdens and you will care about the very thing that I care about. Your prayers will become my prayers. Your life, your attitude, your behavior of every minute, of every day will be the very behavior of God. Will you allow me to think and for everyone else? But luckily you were God. Luckily you stood up. And luckily you're sitting at the right hand of God. And luckily through our salvation, we can look at you. And luckily you did all of that because you loved us. I am privileged to be loved by you. It's a privilege to be at your feet. May we be at your feet every day, 24/7, to experience you in fullness. and just to learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen.